Hello, Stuart here. I don't think I've ever recorded a sermon like this sitting in my study with my wife, Judy, and our in-laws dog, Casper, sitting at my feet. So it will feel a bit weird, but it's good to be able to reach out to people in the church family, and I hope others from the wider community and even, who knows, globally are listening in to this. So I don't know when you're listening to this, but I'm writing it with a view to Mothering Sunday. It's Friday I'm actually recording this, but you may be listening to it on Mothering Sunday or before or after. It's a rather strange Mothering Sunday here preaching to my wife and a dog, but I know that you're listening into it. The title that we had for the Mothering Sunday service is Three Women and a Baby. And the reading is from Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. So that's the book of Exodus, chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. So I'll read the passage first of all. And it's about the birth of Moses. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds and along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. When she opened it and saw the baby, he was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Let us pray. Lord, as we reflect on your word on this Mothering Sunday, we pray that your Holy Spirit would inspire us, would take these words from Scripture and also speak in to our situation as we confront and confront the coronavirus. Bring your healing and your peace to us as we engage with your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I said before, the title is Three Women and a Baby on this Mothering Sunday, which seems strange because many of us will not be able to visit our mothers, even if they're still alive. We won't be able to visit them. We can phone them perhaps, but we won't be able to take them out for a meal or things like that. And those of you who are listening who are mothers may not be able to have contact with your children at the moment. They might be far away from you or unable to socially visit you because you are in social isolation or social distancing. We're learning all these new words that we never heard of before. But going back to the passage that we just read, in the story it says that Moses' mother tried to hide him for 3 months because we know from the previous chapter that they were trying to kill all the Hebrew male children to try and control the population of the Israelites, which the Egyptians saw as a threat to the status quo. And she hid him for 3 months. Well, 3 months, that's a bit weird, isn't it? Because Boris Johnson said the other day that we might be 3 months trying to get on top of this virus. And certainly church is going to be, or likely to be, closed for the next 3 months. So those 3 months there is quite an interesting number, because for the next 3 months we will have to live in virtual lockdown. So the question is, how can we use these 3 months? How can we use this time wisely? It does give us more time for prayer. So we should set aside time for prayer each day. And we'll be sending out a new prayer diary in the near future online. So use that to pray for each other. A good thing to do would be to go through the church directory and pray for different people every day. What I do is I've divided it up into 6 sections. So Monday to Saturday, I pray for different people, give myself a Sunday off in that sense. But use this time for prayer, and maybe use this time for exploring new ways of praying. And if you want to talk about different ways of praying, I'm quite happy to talk about that on the phone. So give me a call if you want to talk about different ways of praying, or if you find prayer difficult. We will also have more time for reading the Bible. So perhaps do the 1 year Bible, where you read a certain passage from the Old Testament, a psalm and a bit of the New Testament. And over the course of the year, you read the whole Bible. Or if you don't already have Bible notes, you could use them. Or in general, we'll have more time for reading. Perhaps you've got books that you've set aside and you think, I'll get round to reading that sometime. I'm reading a Lent book at the moment called Saying Yes to Life by Ruth Valerio, which is looking at how we respond to the climate change and environmental responsibilities and what the Bible says to us about that. I'm also rereading a classic from the 14th century, Julian of Norwich, about her visions of Jesus, which was actually written during the time of the Black Death in those days. So there's some historical parallels between then and now. But I would say read. You have time to read, so spend time reading. If you don't have any books in the house, look online. I would recommend Aslan Books, which is a Christian publisher, and they'll be able to send you some books, better than Amazon, because it's a smaller company, and I think they treat their workers better as well. So that's good, but you can use Amazon if you want to. But I would recommend Aslan if you want a Christian book to read during this time. It's important that in this time when we can't physically visit each other, when we can't socialise in pubs and restaurants or go out to football or rugby or listen to live music in concerts, that we still keep in touch with each other. Call people. Use your phone for what it used to be used for phoning up people and having a chat with them and a conversation with them. Keep in touch. Be open to what the Spirit might say to you, nudging you about whether you should be in touch with someone. Perhaps someone's lonely and you have someone come into your mind. Take that as a nudge from the Holy Spirit to phone that person. What's the worst that can happen? They can just say, oh, I'm okay, I'm fine. But they might need someone to talk to. They might be feeling socially isolated, depressed, struggling with worries and anxieties about the coronavirus and what will happen to them and their loved ones. We can Facebook people or text people at this time too, but it's good to hear a human voice or even to see a human face on a computer screen. To keep in touch with each other, I'm going to commit to trying to phone around everyone in the church family once a week to make sure they're okay, make sure that their needs are being met, that they're getting food in, or they need someone to talk to, or whatever. But it's also important this time that we remember those who are especially vulnerable. And I think it's important to we collect for the food bank here in Northampton and to keep that going. So if any of you go shopping, I know it's difficult at the moment, especially with pasta and toilet rolls and things, but when you go shopping, don't just get food for yourself and your own family, but think about those in the food bank who rely on food banks and get something for them. And if you come and leave it on our doorstep, we'll have the food bank boxed out. We'll make sure that that gets delivered to them. We are also going to be continuing with making meals and delivering them to the Northampton Night Shelter, probably just making the food and then delivering, not staying and serving the food. But that's still a need for those people. So if you're involved in that, then that's good. If you want to contribute to that financially, or you want to cook a meal that we could come and collect from you and deliver, then do get in touch in connection with that. But getting back to the passage, it says in verse 4 that his sister, who we know to be Miriam, stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. There you go. There's a bit of social distancing in the Bible here, that she was standing and keeping an eye on what would happen to her little baby brother. And likewise, we have to keep our distance from each other, but we could still look out for each other, look for the well-being of each other, phone each other, and keep in contact with each other. So we've had the mother of Moses, who put her child in a basket after trying to hide him for 3 months. Probably started crying too much, so she had to find a way to hide him again. And then we have his sister Miriam looking out for him. And now we have the third woman in the story coming in, who is Pharaoh's daughter, who was down there bathing in the River Nile. And she gets her female slave to go and get the basket. And she opened it and saw the baby. And he was crying and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. So Pharaoh, the ruler, the tyrant, the oppressor in many ways, his daughter, part of the elite, has compassion on this suffering child, even a foreign child, someone they would have viewed with suspicion. And likewise, it calls for us to have compassion, compassion for our neighbors, both near and globally. We think of those in our society and our neighbors in our villages and in our town at the moment. But we need to think more globally as well of people who are suffering abroad. Think of the situation in Italy and Spain. And we also think of outbreaks in Latin America. I lived and worked for 4 years in Nicaragua, and I hear about cases there. And I shudder to think what will happen there with the precarious health system, and also when the government doesn't seem to be giving the good advice that we mainly receive from our government and their scientific advisors. So think of those in other parts of the world, other countries. I'm thinking, will we be able to do the Christian aid collection in May? We should still put aside money for organizations like that who are ministering to those poorest in our world. So our neighbours are not just here in Moulton, Northampton, but also globally too. Going on with the story, in verse 9 we have Pharaoh's daughter said to Miriam, "Take this baby and nurse him for me and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. Well, it's not Miriam actually, it's talking about Moses' mother in this stage. So it's the providence that God cares for Moses by allowing Moses' mother to keep caring for him. And it says, "I will pay you for that too." And that's important at this time as well, as we think about those who need paid when their jobs are maybe made redundant or the work's closing down. Think of those in the hospitality industry, those who are self-employed at this time. We pray that our government will be just and fair and supply for their needs at this time. And as we think about Moses' mother caring for him, we also think of God as like a mother who cares for us in our time of need. God is like a mother and a father to us and shows his care for us and invites us to care for each other at this time. This brings out the best and worst of us, this crisis. On the one hand, we had the panic buying with folk hoarding toilet rolls and pasta and tin tomatoes and other things that are hard to get your hands upon. But it also brings out the best in us. My neighbour knocked on the door the other day and said that she's now having 8 weeks of unpaid leave from her employer. And she said, "You know, if there's any older people or vulnerable people who can't get out and do shopping, let me know." And that's great to have our neighbours, maybe people who don't regularly come to church at all, but are concerned for each other at this time. And we have this opportunity. If we are healthy with no symptoms, we can still go to the supermarket and we can do shopping for others or for the food bank or for the homeless shelter. And if you think you can help in that way, get in touch with me or with Martin. And if those needs arise, then we can get in touch with you in connection with that whole situation. So we have the three women. We have Moses' mother, his sister Miriam, and Pharaoh's daughter. And they all showed love and concern for the well-being of Moses, a vulnerable child who would be central in the liberation of his people, the people of Israel, from slavery in Egypt. We are called to be like them, to look after the well-being of all of God's children, not just young children, but old, vulnerable people from ages of an infant until those who are into the hundreds. All of them are God's children and need his love and concern at this time. And it can't really be a sermon unless you fit Jesus into the story in some place. And I'm reminded of that image we have of Jesus as a mother hen, a maternal image, where Jesus says these words to the people of Jerusalem as he heads towards the cross in Luke 13, verse 34. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus wants to gather us under his wings. But are we willing to be gathered? Are we stubborn like the people of Jerusalem in Jesus's day, not knowing what makes for peace? And although we can't gather today or in the coming weeks physically together for worship at Kerry Baptist here in Moulton, we can and must gather under Jesus's wings during these troubled times. These times that give us an opportunity, in the words of the rock band The Foo Fighters, it's times like these you learn to live again. It's times like these you give and give again. It's times like these you learn to love again. May during this crisis that we face, may we learn to love God, love each other, and love our neighbours, especially the weak, the vulnerable, and the isolated during these times. Let us pray. Loving God, we pray on this Mothering Sunday for all those who need your motherly care. We pray that you will use us to be vessels of your love, caring for each other, both mentally and physically. Help us to keep in touch with each other, especially those who are most isolated and vulnerable. And help us put into action our love and our care. Help us to continue to support the food bank, the homeless shelter, and think of those globally who are suffering this crisis with less resources than we have. And help us to be open to you and how you would want to use us to show your motherly love to any of our neighbours in our village, in Moulton, in our town of Northampton, and throughout your world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do give me any feedback from the sermon. If you have any comments, then send me an email or whatever, or give me a call, and we can talk about how we support and encourage each other through these times. Look out for each other, call each other, and most of all, pray for each other and our world at this time. Go well, and God bless.